Hey,
pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, happy birthday to Charlie Shornack. Say, what? Who the heck's Charlie Shornack? Well, that's my wife's dad. He's late. I don't know why we call him late when they die. Charlie died, I don't know, like 10 years ago. I lose track of time. Sorry, honey, if I missed that one. Boy, I'm sure glad Charlie Shornack was born, because if he wasn't born, I wouldn't have that sweet little thing upstairs to be able to walk through life with me. And what a blessing she is. He who finds a wife findeth a good thing. And boy, I picked one right off the top of the tree. And so honored to. I get up every morning, hug her, let her know how much I love her, and that, man, the day's going to come. It's good. How can it be heaven if there's no marriage in heaven? How can it be heaven if Michelle and I are still one? I don't know. I don't understand. Can't imagine going through life or heaven without her. So I trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Do you notice it doesn't tell us what our weapons are? It tells us what they are not. Carnal, meaning fleshly. The mind of man, the natural mind of man, fists and guns. We use all those things in the natural world, but those aren't our real weapons. In fact, the real weapons mimic the weapons of the world, spiritual weapons. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. How about that, man? In other words, the carnal weapons aren't mighty. The spiritual weapons are mighty. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Boy, I got to shut up or I'm never going to get started here. Get Ron on here with this. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? What's a spiritual stronghold? Casting down imaginations. Well, an imagination, that's an image. Image is in that word. Imagine, image. Casting down thoughts, imaginations, things we figure out in our head. Casting them down. And bringing them into, I'm sorry, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Did we pull that up on the screen? I didn't give Connor much of a heads up there to do that. That's okay, Connor. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Wow, so you got to know God and God's mind, or you can't recognize the high and lofty things. You can't differentiate between them. You don't understand it. And bringing them into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Man, I'd like to have a Bible scholar break that down for me. How do you revenge all disobedience? Jared, you know, I'm getting a little bit of a delay on my screen today. I don't know if it's on my end or what's going on. As long as I'm coming through, okay. And sometimes my screen looks like I'm in slow motion here on my end of it today. Having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So don't look on things after the outward appearance, it goes on to say. Don't look at what you can see. Because everything that you can see is temporary and subject to change. Not even real. Wow. If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. Oh, I should have brought that up there. Hey, got an exciting weekend coming here in Columbus, outside of Columbus, Ohio, in the cornfields outside of Columbus. We're having a, for lack of a better word, a huddle. And we would love for you to be able to come to it. So probably if you're out of town, you haven't had to make plans or you wouldn't be able to make it. So we're doing that. Connor, if you can pull up the event page on the homepage there. Mike Blake's putting this baby together out there on his beautiful property out of Buckeye Lake. And yes, protesters, they may show up. They're welcome to come if they want to come. That's what, you know. But we're going to be doing a lot of good fellowship stuff. We're going to do a little bit of training. We're going to do a little bit of street activism. Mike's got some wonderful things and activities planned. Yes, we're going to go up and check out Sky High. And yes, some people are going to stay afterwards and going to do a little bit of work on Sky High. And we got Randy Skidsteer yesterday. We're itching at the seams, bursting at the seams, ready to get out and get all that done. So we'd love for you guys to be part of that. And don't forget, we went through the schedule yesterday, so I'm not going to go through the schedule. Don't forget to get a hold of Mike Blake if you want to be part of it. Just say, Mike, I'm coming. So we have the right number of food and all that kind of stuff. So as I said yesterday, this is a rough house thing. You can sleep in a hotel if you want to. If you want to throw a sleeping bag down on a floor, you can do that. If you want to bring a mattress and set it up, you can do that if you want to. It's all cool. All cool. We're going to start Friday, Saturday, and be done about Sunday. Sunday morning, we'll be done. All right, so looking forward to it. And then a lot of stuff going on. Don't forget Branson. We're still making plans on Branson. And don't forget tomorrow night, which is Thursday night, I'm going to be on the Doug Hagman Report to talk about what's going on here with the Equal Justice Tour. And no, we haven't given up on that. We have not put that on the shelf. That's the one thing that I don't know if you guys – I would get somebody to put a montage together for me of how often you hear national figures beginning to speak about equal justice. Equal justice. Our eyes are beginning to open up and to see that our nation cannot survive if we continue to have a set of rules for one group of people and another set of rules for another group of people. Clearly what's going on in America, and that's why the term Equal Justice Tour is so resonating. So I'm going to pause right there for a second, open up the door and see if anybody wants to come in, anything they'd like to say. Yes, yes, this is, by the way, this is my 11th day without any food. I don't, I've been on a fast, and I don't say it. They tell you, again, as I said yesterday, you're not supposed to brag that you're on a fast. I'm not bragging on it. Simply telling you about the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to empower you to do more than you can eat. If you can go 11 days without eating food, you ought to be able to stop smoking a cigarette, don't you think? If you go 11 days without smoking a cigarette, you ought to be able to shut the porn off on your computer, don't you think? If you go 11 days without eating any food, you ought to be able to get victory over that anger that you're fighting with so much, don't you think? Because remember, Jesus said, this kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, because prayer and fasting strengthen you. There's no formula. There's no formula to this spiritual war we're in. We're not going to stand on the other side. And the Lord said, oh, man, you had it all right. You did A and B and C all, but you left out D. No, there's no formula to it. We have to work out our own salvation. We have to walk it out. We have to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. More of us ought to be getting victory over little battles in our lives. We ought to all be doing that. And I often fast and pray for clarity. Lord, that you'll show me. My mind will be fresh, and I'll hear your voice. And as I said yesterday, I don't even hardly hear the word food anymore. I mean, I hear it. It's constantly tapping on me, but I don't hear it anymore. I hear his voice. So I just want to encourage all of you, anybody out there who's still on the fast, I think I'm going to go see what the Lord says another day, I think, and then we'll get her done and go from there. Questions? Anybody from the huddle and from the queue want to jump in here and say anything today? We got 40 of us knocking on the door. Chad, anything to add about your event coming up, or Mark, or anybody?
Yeah, just real quick. Samuel Girard was making a salve that was actually healing people for 20 years. He sold it, and the FDA decided that he needed to be locked up. They threw him in jail without bail, and right now I believe he's in Louisville, Kentucky. There's a lot of information on the internet. I put something in the chat there. But some of us are going to Louisville on October 5th and supporting, you know, the release and the paperwork associated with filing petitions or whatever it is we decide to do. More info to follow. But to try to get that man freed, he's a Marine veteran, and he deserves better. So personally, I'm planning on going. Alan Hoyle is leading, a bit, but I'm not sure. He may have some others joining up. So if you're interested in going, just let me know, and I'll get you more details. Thank you.
It's Louisville on October 5th. I've cleared my schedule. I'll be there as well. And we have to stand against what Martin Luther King say: "Injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere." And look, there's
Amen. Amen.
so much injustice everywhere, right? It is. We can't go fight every battle, but we feel this is worthy to try to help Sam Girard get out. Government's wicked, folks. The government is wicked. So we're going to dive into something wicked today. I have on with us today, I showed you the book yesterday. Ron Beeler gave me this book when we were in Mike Spaulding's event. I was going to say All Hands on Deck. Come Ye Therefore, How to Do Spirit Cooking. I'm reading this upside down. So we've kind of forgotten about this, haven't we? Spirit cooking. Remember Maria Abramovich? Remember John Podesta? Remember Comet Ping Pong? Remember all that stuff? And they said, that's all fake. That's not real. And child trafficking and everything that's going on. Well, Ron Bueller is in Toronto, and Ron has been all over this. In fact, he's done a great deal of research on it. And I met him, as I said, at Dr. Mike Spaulding's event. And he said, he gave me the book. He'd sent it to me before, and I swear, Ron, I never saw it. It's fascinating. I was reading through it last night. It's fascinating about what spirit cooking is. And because folks here at Coach Dave Live, we're not afraid to talk about the demonic realm. Okay. We're not afraid to talk about it. We believe it's real. We believe the devil has a team. We believe they have strategies. We believe they have plans. We believe they have run of offenses. We believe that they're doing whatever they can to destroy the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. We think that it is an active war that we need to engage in. And so this is not happy Tuesday. We come and clap your hands and love Jesus. There's more to this. We are in a war. And Ron Bueller is on top. He's been all over this for quite a while and, in fact, has some new information. So Ron sent me an email, kind of an email outline last night, and I'm going to turn him loose and let him make this presentation. As I said, now, Ron is part of what is known as, has been, he says, for 25 years, what is the Hebrew Roots Movement. We're not going to talk about that today. Maybe we'll spend some time talking about that later. So just, I hear from people, well, what theology does that guy have? What does he? So I'm telling you right up front, Ron is part of the Hebrew Roots Movement. And he has done extensive research into the spiritual domain. And so we're going to open up the platform to him. Ron, come on in, man, and tell us what the heck's going on with all the spirit cooking and John Podesta and Maria Abramovich and Hitlery and all of them. Welcome. Welcome, John. Ron.
I'm here. I don't know if you can see me. Do I come through okay?
We hear you fine and we see you fine. You're doing great.
Excellent. So I'll launch into this thing. And as you mentioned, Coach, and thank you, by the way, for having me on. I very much appreciate it. Spirit cooking has kind of faded a little bit into the background with so much other stuff going on. But I'm going to contend here this morning that we need to get to the bottom of this thing. It's real. And if we do get
Ron, I'm sorry, especially with the whole Epstein thing, right? The whole Epstein connection now is kind of
100%.
Brought it right back onto the table for us. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. So we need to know what exactly was going on here, why people involved with this thing. And as I mentioned, and I'll get into it later on, most people just kind of heard the word and understood a little bit about it and said, that's disgusting. And they kind of moved on from it. We need to get a little analytical here. We need to understand the enemy's devices, how he does what he does. And that's the purpose of this discussion. So with that little introduction, and thanks, Dave, for mentioning where we met and background. You folks don't know me. Three generations, Seventh-day Adventist, Messianic movement, Hebrew roots for 35 years. Studied medicine for 4 years back in the 1970s. Got booted out 2 weeks before I got my MD degree. Saw certain things there and opened my mouth, which I've been doing ever since. They didn't like it, and so I've been on the street selling stuff, real estate, and other things for the last 41 years. So that's a brief background. Now, in order to understand spirit cooking, there are a few moving parts that need to be in your thinking. And I want to go through that this morning, try to do it very quickly. I made some notes. Coach, you have those notes. Did they go out there okay?
Yep.
Very good. So there are a couple of little errors in it here and there that I'll proofread, and then you can post it or do whatever you want later. But I'm going to run through them. Try to do it quickly because there are a number of things just to be touched on that need to be in your thinking to understand what exactly is the essential transaction of spirit cooking and why people do it. First off, I'd like to talk about fathers and fathering. This is something that might seem totally unrelated to spirit cooking, but as we get into it, you'll see that it's actually the core issue of this, and it really explains a whole lot. Just researching for teaching in Hebrew Roots circles, I was going into the issue of authority and who had the right to exercise it. And as I was studying this, I saw something I hadn't seen before, and that is that the word authority contains within it exactly who has the right to exercise it. I don't know if you'd mentioned or noticed this before, but the root of the word authority is author, and it is authoring that gives the right to exercise authority or authority. So, for example, my Nissan is an Altima, and only Nissan, the author of my Altima, has the authority to tell me how to maintain it because they are the author of the car. It's just a simple illustration. And then came another discovery. The Holy Spirit helped me to see a functional and phonetic similarity between the words author and father, or f-author, if you please. And impressed me, there's great significance to that similarity. Now, I didn't know whether this was something that just kind of worked in the Hebrew language or if, in fact, it had something deeper behind it until I met a Hebrew expert at a conference, a Messianic conference in Chicago. And I told him what I was seeing in English and how I used it in a teaching. And I said, I'd like to know from him, is there any similarity between the Hebrew words for father and author? And he just laughed and told me in Hebrew, they're exactly the same word.
So, Ron, in other words, the father is the authority. He's the author of the family. Is that what you're saying?
It is absolutely implicit and explicit in the word itself, okay? And, you know, nobody's pointing this out, but it's kind of hidden in the language. And somehow, as I mentioned, the Holy Spirit prompted me to see, like, father for author. This is like they function the same. They sound the same. Is there something there? And the Hebrew language expert down in Chicago, he said, in Hebrew, they're not two different words. It's one word.
Author and father. So
one word.
Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, and too, huh? That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, and it turns out to have some major implications. So we just pondered this thing, and here's what we see. Whoever you call father, you acknowledge as your author, and thus acknowledge a duty to submit to the authority of.
Mm.
Or stated another way, whoever you submit to, obey, and allow to author your life is, in fact, your father. So, explains why our Messiah...
I'll throw you a curveball, Ron. I'm going to throw you a curveball real quickly. Yeah. I was raised Catholic, and I learned after I came out of Catholicism that I was called no man father. What do you think?
Right.
What do you think that means, Ron?
Well, I was just going to touch on that here from the notes. And so our Messiah told us this, Matthew 23:9 is the reference, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. So as we understand this now, the instant you call someone your father, you're calling that person your author.
Authority.
You're acknowledging a duty to submit to his authority. This is the hook, the catch in this whole thing. It's not that the Messiah is trying to deprive us from some term of spiritual endearment. He's trying to say, watch out, because the minute you call someone father, you need to give a little bow and you need to submit. And we submit to our master, our heavenly father. He's our head. And that's the end of that discussion.
There but should... to call somebody father is to call them the authority.
Correct. And it's to acknowledge your duty to submit. This is dangerous stuff if we do it around human beings. And the Messiah's warning is a very timely warning. Now, there's some material in Scripture, particularly in the writings of Paul, where he said, look, I'm your one spiritual father. And I say we cut Paul a bit of slack because he wasn't there to hear the Messiah instruct the disciples with the specific instruction that he gave them. So he did something that was pretty common in Judaism, where you had that understanding between the rabbis and those that followed them. But the Messiah gave the final word on it. And the final word is, there's no one on this earth that we call Father. We have a Father, one Father. Who's in heaven. So with that point on the table, I'd like to point out that it's highly positive to have a good relationship with your Father.
So, Ron, let me stop you.
Yeah.
I think with our audience, right?
Yeah.
So, folks, if we look at our Father, your Father, talk about the destruction of the American family, for one thing, right? What has happened? Well, the authority of the Father has been usurped, right? It's the government, it's the schools, it's child protective services, whatever. So the father, or the head of the home, the authority in the home, has yielded his rightful authority and the children's obedience to someone else.
Well, and if I may say so, Coach, the fundamental transaction of capitalism is a man planting seed in his wife, bringing forth children, training them up according to his values and his convictions. In other words, shaping them in his image, which is to be shaped according to the image of his maker and his creator. Mm. The fundamental transaction of socialism is, frankly, living your whole life without children at all and just working for the state, or bearing children and surrendering them to the state to be formed in the image of the state. Those are the fundamental transactions that we're dealing with.
Wow, Ron, this is so eye-opening to me. I don't know if everybody else is picking up on this. So when we raise our children, we're supposed to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. The father is the authority structure. Dad's supposed to be the head of the home. Instead, we take the child and we put them under the authority of the public schools. We send them to Rome, and then we're shocked when they come back to us little Romans. Right, Ron?
Oh, that's, you got it. In about 20 seconds, you got it. And this understanding can be mined basically into infinity, because this is where the devil has done a fast one on us. He's confused us to think that something is normal, which is totally abnormal, and we're all suffering for it, and we're going to have to get back on track.
Let me put you on hold. Anybody got a question right now? Because we're heading to spirit cooking. Folks, you're saying, what's going on? Why? Ron's,
we'll get there.
Ron's on the basis here, right? Why fatherhood and authorhood is so important and how it plays into spirit cooking. Anybody right now have anything that's pricked your conscience or pricked your something you want to say? Okay, Ron, keep on going. Speak
all
now.
Right. Please. I'll keep going. And trust me, we'll get the spirit cooking. But to understand it, we have to understand fathers and fathering, and you'll see why as we go through this. The point I was making was, it's highly positive to have a good relationship with your father, which you develop by listening to him, obeying his instructions, and following his example. If you have such a relationship with your heavenly father, you can get things from him, good things, if you ask him for them. Our Messiah put it this way: ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, catch this, the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's Luke 11, 9-13 for the reference. So there's a whole recital here of the necessity to ask of the Father. And if you ask and ask in faith, you're going to get what you ask for. And then comes the big reveal at the end here. You ask and your father will give you the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hey, now, Ron, how many Christians do you think actually have the Holy Spirit?
Well, that's a very good question. And I won't hazard a percentage, but I'll tell you, if we really had the Holy Spirit, we would be on the battlefield right now in a spiritual combat. And you're there and I'm there, and I don't want to give all the details, but that's the reality, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is not a wimpy force. The Holy Spirit is going to challenge and ultimately destroy the head of the serpent. And it's going to be done not just through spiritual forces that fight outside of us. It's going to be done through us being filled with the Spirit and working with that unction.
Amen. Amen. Keep going, brother.
All right. So there you have it. Listen to and obey your Heavenly Father's instructions as revealed to us by His Son and our Messiah, Yeshua, who is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit, and He'll give you the Holy Spirit. Or as Peter succinctly put it, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey, Acts 5:32. And as we'll see shortly, what happens on the dark side in the kingdoms of this world is exactly the same. Choose the prince of this world, the devil, as your father. Listen to and obey his instructions. Follow his example. Let him author you, so to speak. Ask him for the gift of his spirits, evil spirits, fallen angels, not the Holy Spirit, and you will receive them and the services they're able to provide.
Unbelievable. The counterfeit, right? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Whatever the Lord does, the devil tries to imitate. Yes?
Exactly right. Dr. John Garr, who's a messianic teacher, put it this way. The devil never had an original thought in all his life. Everything he does is modeled after but changed from what our Heavenly Father does. And you'll find out that this spirit cooking thing is like, it is probably one of the most revealing things that happens in his whole repertoire of perverse activities that he gets his children into. But we'll get into that. So what we discussed here, this is the essential transaction of spirit cooking. And in exchange for the benefits and gifts you receive from the devil, and you do get them, you give him your soul and you lose your salvation and eternal life. It's a rotten deal, but some people like John Podesta are willing to make it in order to get power in this life and in this world.
So, Ron, I wasn't wrong when I began to say, a year and a half ago, whatever, that Hillary was under demonic protection.
No doubt about it. Okay. And I'll tell you just a little insight from a interview on YouTube, which I encourage and really strongly encourage everybody listening to watch. I'll mention it later. It's Roger Morneau, A Trip into the Supernatural. But on that interview, he makes an incredible point. This was taught to him by the Luciferian high priest from the Luciferian worship group in Montreal that he was a part of in 1946. But the high priest said that anyone who teaches evolution gets a special escort of demonic fallen angels that accompany him until the day he dies and protect him and give him special power.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just for a garden variety teacher of evolution. If you can imagine what Hillary's got around her in terms of demonic protection and demonic inspiration, it's unthinkable. But we'll get into that a little later on here. You're absolutely right. Absolutely. There's way more that meets the eye with this individual. So now, next item I'd like to make is our Heavenly Father informs us of one non-negotiable requirement for admission into His family as follows. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. And as we'll see when we discuss spirit cooking, the devil requires touching the unclean thing for admission into his family. So you're going to have it one way or the other, okay? You can't have it both ways, and you'll see that. As our Messiah, go ahead.
Pick your poison, right?
Well, that's it. That's it. You like I tell people, we are temples and we're channels. You're going to be a temple for the Holy Spirit and you're going to channel blessing. or you're going to be a temple for another spirit. You don't get to be just yourself. It doesn't work that way, okay? Choose who you'll serve. You remember what Jesus said. Choose it, choose it. You're going to be serving somebody. That's the bottom
line. I got to stop you right there because we talk about this stuff all the time. I don't know if you've ever watched our show, but I'm trying to awaken people to the very – You're either on one team or you're on the other, brother. You are either serving God or you're serving the devil. There ain't no demilitarized zone.
No, right? there's no neutral area in this thing. And I've read you, Coach, for years and watched you as I get you on Hagman Report, which is one of our favorite news sources. So I do know something about your thinking, and that's why I appreciate what you're doing. You're on exactly the right path. We've got to go further down this path and really get some so we know the devices of the enemy and we're wise to them. So now, as our Messiah said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay.
He doesn't just tell lies, Ron. He doesn't just tell lies. He is the author of the lies.
But, right? And so critical. When the Messiah introduces that father word there, it is an incredible, incredible revelation. The buck stops with him when it comes to lying. And that's why you see, particularly on one side of the political aisle in the U.S., non-stop lying. They can't seem to help it. They can't seem to tell the truth. It's like, well, and ultimately they can't, because they're possessed by a spirit. And that spirit lies. It is the nature of that spirit. So we got that part about who this adversary is. He's a murderer. He's a liar. That's John 8:44, by the way. And also, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father, that is murder and lies. It's John 8:38. So we see that murder and lies are the currency or the power source of the devil's kingdom. And that's a very key concept. These things never change, okay? And
would that be Washington, D.C., Ron?
Well, it certainly would be. And it's no coincidence, of course, that the architecture of Washington, D.C. and the architecture of Rome and the Vatican are kind of mirror images of each other. Lots of people have said Rome is Babylon the Great and this end time Babylon. And I'm not going to argue with it, but I'm going to say it's more than Rome. It includes what's been going on in this occultic government operation that has been running things in Washington, D.C. No question in my mind anymore. And I mean, we all know about the Christians that worked in the foundation of the nation and those that came over here and were zealous and good, but there's certainly another side to the picture, and it's in your face right now.
Ron, for the I'm going to make this email available to everybody for the because of the of time. Let's get into this, because these guys are going to have some questions for you as well.
Okay.
Ron.
All right. Well, I'll try to make it.
You've laid a good foundation. I think we get it.
Okay. So there's an old bit of humor. Everybody's heard of one line that goes like this: choose your parents carefully. In the human carnal physical realm, it's a joke, of course, but not in the spiritual realm. There we actually do get to choose our parents by using our will to decide who we will obey and emulate. And my advice for everybody listening today, of course, is choose wisely. Now, amen. I'll try to be speedy on this thing, because there's quite a bit I do want to cover still. Zachary King, former Satanist and high-ranking witch, who you can watch on YouTube quite a bit, by the way, did an interview with True News, which I found to be particularly insightful. You can just beam up Zachary King, True News on YouTube. You'll get it. He revealed some critical information, and it went like this. He said in order to access the dark demonic power he used in his witchcraft practice, he had to willingly violate each of the Ten Commandments. Had to be documented, had to break every one of the ten. He had to smoke a cigarette. He had to be baptized in pig's blood and urine, after which he was qualified and credentialed to do business in the adversary's kingdom. I don't know how many of you have heard him tell this story, but it's an incredible story. That's how it worked. So there, yeah, there's a picture of him right there. Thanks for bringing that up. Okay. So during the interview, he gave an example of the advanced witchcraft he and his coven specialized in. He said the CEO of a major airline came to him for help in resolving a very frustrating problem. He tried for years to buy out a feeder airline, but the owner of the feeder airline was like Naboth with his vineyard. He refused to sell. Zachary and his coven named their high price to deal with his problem. The CEO agreed to pay, and the deal was on. He explained how in order to get major help from the demonic realm for a situation such as this one, someone had to be murdered. He further explained that this requirement could be met by murdering an adult, but since that could easily get them in trouble with the law, the preferred procedure he and his coven used was abortion, for which the devil gave him full credit for murder. Female witches in the coven were impregnated specifically to provide the babies for the abortions, and although each abortion was performed by a cooperating doctor, Zachary was required to get blood from the abortion on his hands, after which the aborted baby was eaten by the female witches and the necessary incantations were offered to invoke the adversary and request his assistance. Shortly thereafter, the owner of the feeder airline caved in, sold his business to the CEO of the major airline, who paid the agreed upon price to Zachary, and the transaction was complete. For interest's sake, Zachary participated in more than 140 abortions for various projects during his witchcraft career.
Well, Ron, we can find this interview on True News. This is not just something you've...
You can find it on True News, but you can find it on YouTube as well. It was done maybe, I'd say, like 3-4 years ago.
All right.
So, but you can beam it up on YouTube. It's out there. And it's fascinating because what he reveals there is actually, when we're going to see it here shortly, precisely how spirit cooking works. But because it's done in a slightly different format, we haven't understood really what's going on here, why they do it, and why they get the power. But we're going to get there. What time is it, by the way? I don't even have a clock.
We've got 20 minutes.
Okay. So we'll try to push right through it. So with all the foregoing background information running on your mental computers, let's now think about spirit cooking, which is literally cooking up spirits. It's not cooking spirits. It's cooking up spirits. So you do
authoring
this.
Authoring spirits, right? Fathering spirits.
Well, you don't father them. You bring them on board, okay?
All right.
And we'll kind of get into that. You download them. And on that subject, by the way, I just want to mention, I haven't read it. I don't have the book, but I've read about Bill Clinton in his autobiography talking about how he and Hillary go down to Haiti, participate in voodoo services. And he says it's just thrilling to feel the voodoo spirits enter your body.
Wow.
Can you believe it? He's put it in his own autobiography. It's out there, okay? So these people are not novices in this. They've been on this pathway for a long time. So going quick. So we have now this information we put on the table so far. We're going to think about spirit cooking. Cooking up spirits, evil spirits, by obeying and following the example of the adversary, HaSatan, and thus choosing him to be your father. Just like other cooking projects, spirit cooking has a recipe. The required ingredients are sourced and mixed together, and the end result is consumed. And by the way, this is the part that you never got into. It never got into the news. I had to dig into Aleister Crowley and the background of spirit cooking to figure out what actually happens in the service. It's not just mixed together and painted on the wall. If you're in this thing, like for real, like you're in a spirit cooking meal, the witch will mix together all the ingredients, separate the portions. Everybody there partakes, and we'll get into that in a minute.
The communion, Ron, right? It's like a communion.
Well, it is like a communion. You're exactly right. It is the communion of witchcraft. We consume the body and the blood of the Messiah in symbol form at communion or Passover, same thing, a specified time for Passover. They consume this, and this thing, like, let's just put it this way. When we consume, we identify with and enter into the image of our Messiah. When they consume, they enter into the image of HaSatan.
Wow.
That's how this thing works, okay? So, it's all mixed together, end results consumed. The ingredients used in spirit cooking, however, are quite different than those used in conventional cooking. And to understand what spirit cooking is and how it works, we need to know what the ingredients are and how each ingredient contributes to the end product, which is consumed in a demon worship setting. By the way, in my lecturing on spirit cooking, I found that virtually no one has endeavored to understand what it really is and how it works. They read the term in the WikiLeaks Podest email releases, said that's disgusting, and they went on to investigate other low-hanging, easier-to-research fruit like pedophilia code words and UFO alien disclosure comments. I'm contending this is a big mistake, however, because the spirit cooking is the massive sleeper revelation, the thing that explains what's really going on at the foundation level. So let's get on with the spirit cooking recipe ingredients. Because time is short, I'll simply give the ingredients, what they contribute to the witch's brew, and what the bottom line end result of consuming this mixture actually is.
Okay, Ron, let me stop you right there. So folks that are following what's going on here, they're getting ready. They're gonna cook up a brew. Spirit cooking is a real thing. Ron's going to give us the ingredients and why the ingredients, why they do it, and it is to invite in spirits. The invitation.
100%. 100%.
So they consume it and spirits come with it. Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, the first ingredient is urine. And this provides the normal saline environment for the rest of the ingredients. And needless to say, what's going on here is a biological process. Second ingredient is breast milk, which adds a sustaining nutrient broth to the mixture.
So urine mixed with breast milk.
Breast milk number two, okay?
I'm trying to create an image for people that what's being put in this bucket or whatever they're cooking it in, okay?
Right. The third ingredient is blood, but it's not just any blood. It must be menstrual blood, which happens to contain the female egg being flushed from the body at the end of a menstrual cycle, slightly past its best before date, but nevertheless still there. Now, this is the critical thing because people understood, okay, the urine, the breast milk, the blood, but not everybody, very few actually, have done the research to determine, oh, it's got to be menstrual blood, not just any blood. It has to be menstrual blood.
It's dead blood, actually. Dead blood.
Well, but there's an egg in there. See, the egg's being flushed.
I got it.
There you go. Okay, and finally, there's the fourth ingredient, which is male semen, which provides the catalyzing spark, which joins with the egg in the menstrual blood to begin the physical manifestation of a new life, a new human being made in the image of Elohim, the image of God. So now, whether or not this happens in every spirit cooking pot, whether or not every participant gets the fertilized egg in what they partake is immaterial. The fact is, they're going through the entire process where this is possible, and by so doing, they indicate their willingness to do exactly what is happening in the ideal situation in the spirit cooking pot.
They're making ingredients of urine, breast milk, menstrual blood, and semen, and they're stirring it all up and cooking it.
Right, Ron.
That's exactly right.
And now, as I point out in my book, I just find it fascinating that in Revelation 17 and 18, you see this description of Mystery Babylon. What do you see? Well, you see a great whore. She's got a golden cup in her hand, and it's full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Think about it. Like, I'm afraid to say, but I'm afraid that what we're looking at with Marina Abramović and her cavorting with the great men of this world down in the swamp in Washington, D.C., is precisely what's being described in Revelation 17 and 18. That's a spirit cooking cup she's got in her hand there.
You don't have any doubt that this spirit cooking is actually taking place.
Not a speck of a doubt at all, okay? See, they can lie about it. They can say, oh, it was just a meal, whatever. Marina Abramović herself has said performance witchcraft is something, but when this is done in a private setting, it's something entirely different. So don't forget, she's full of lying spirit. She can deny anything and everything. But the fact is, she made a bona fide invitation to John and Tony Podesta to join them for a spirit cooking meal, and signed off with all my love, Marina. So this is not like time number one. They're not novices at this thing. She's been giving them her services for a long time, is what I read between the lines into this.
Okay, let me stop you a second, Ron. let me open the door here. There's certainly got to be a question. We've got 15 minutes left. Somebody's come on. Anybody hungry, by the way? Anybody hungry? Go ahead. Let's open the door here.
I'm afraid to open the door. I was fascinated. First of all, Dave, please bring him back for more. Want to know more, need to know more. I guess my question would revolve around this. Our defenses are Jesus Christ and what other aspects of our faith?
What are our defenses against this, Roger? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. How do we protect our family? Obviously, this stuff is moving towards us.
It is. It is. And don't think it's gone away, okay? It is moving towards us. And ultimately, it comes right down to how the Messiah met the adversary in the wilderness of temptation. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Elohim, or God. We're going to have to get into the word like we haven't gotten into it before. We're going to have to do our best to walk in it, including some things we might have ignored before, kind of gone over the top of, because that's going to be the key to getting the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we're going to need to take this thing on without a particle of fear, because fear is the normal reaction, but we can't have it. It's not a part of our life whatsoever, and we're going to have to deal with it. And that's why we pray on a daily basis for a wide assortment of people, including some very imperfect people like President Trump and Alex Jones and a few others, because for better or worse, the Almighty has just simply allowed these men to be on the front lines of conflict with something extremely evil. No doubt.
So, Ron, so the people understand, people will say, well, listen, I know so-and-so. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't be involved with that. So listen, folks, you have to understand that you do not have to be involved with spirit cooking to be impacted by spirit cooking. That when spirit cooking is done and these people consume it and these spirits enter into them, it's spirits into influential people with schemes from the devil, with the mind of, not of the mind of Christ, but the mind of Satan. And so then they spread into the public schools and into the government and into health and human services. And this infiltration of these demonic spirits into the leadership of America trickles down to everybody else. Would you agree with that?
100%. 100%. And you vote for these people, excuse me, and you get a little measure of the spirit that fills them too. That's the bottom line in this. I've heard people say it before, and I agree 100%. I don't know how a believer in the Messiah could possibly vote Democrat in the United States today. I don't see it. It's impossible as far as I'm concerned. It's just impossible.
Well, part of that strong delusion that's come, though, isn't it, Ron?
Well, it is. It is. And I'm going to get to that at the end here, and hopefully we can get to the end. There's like 2.5 pages left.
Okay, I'll shut up. I'll shut up here.
All right, so there you have it. The spirit cooking witch's cauldron in actuality becomes a vessel for in vitro fertilization. And all those who consume this witch's brew become murderers and cannibals, like their father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning and who goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. By the way, the word cannibal literally means priest of Baal. Kana is Cohen, it's priest, and Baal at the end of it, that's Baal. And it's used to identify those who consume human flesh because this is something which priests of Baal routinely did as part of their worship ritual in biblical times. It's also interesting to note that Indian prophet Sadhu Sundar Salvaraj tells how he watched his father, a powerful Hindu priest, slit his arm as part of Hindu worship ritual. The blood would gush from the wound and fall towards the ground, but would literally be consumed by demonic spirits before it could reach the ground. He saw it with his own eyes, just astounded him, okay? It's that the blood's just draining out. His father holds out the arm. It disappears in midair. The spirits are literally consuming it. So what happens after the spirit cooking witch's brew is consumed is the critical thing to recognize in order to see the big picture of what's been going on at the highest levels of the U.S. government. A familiar spirit downloads into the body and soul temple of each participant. And this spirit gives a message equivalent to the following. I can't say this is word for word, but I've studied enough now to know what happens. Welcome to the family, son or daughter, where we all emulate and walk in the footsteps of our great father, Lucifer. Membership in the family comes with benefits, and at this time, your wish is my command. What do you want me to do for you?
Authority again, right, Ron? Authority. Their father, the devil, authority.
That's exactly the way it is. By consuming, you have entered the image of the adversary, who is a murderer, okay? You're welcome to board, and now benefits are made available to you. And as you'll learn by perusing some of the darker corners of the internet, the familiar spirit or fallen angel assigned to you to reward you for your worship will stay on the job until your wish is accomplished. And the wishes can be a whole assortment of different things. I don't know all the details, but you can basically say, here's what needs to get done. And this demon sticks on the project until it's done. And from what I understand, can include and go up to even the getting rid of individuals who are persona non grata in the spirit cooker's world. So I don't have all the details on that, but that seems to come through in some things that I've read. So the big revelation provided by the WikiLeaks Podesta emails is not simply that John Podesta was into spirit cooking. And here's where I mentioned, Coach, that I saw something just in preparing for this discussion that I hadn't fully realized before, okay? The big revelation is that Hillary Clinton, who's a practicing witch herself for decades, as attested to by Larry Nichols, her former right-hand man, actually he was right-hand man for her and Bill for years in Arkansas. If there's anybody not acquainted with him, watch him, listen to him on YouTube. He tells the whole story. She obviously knew all about Podesta's spirit cooking activities, and she chose him because of them, not in spite of them, because she wanted maximum help from the devil to ensure her election victory, and she knew she could get it by choosing him, because he would do to the max what he could to bring demonic power on side the effort that he was making. Wow. So I noted on my notes here, but thankfully our Heavenly Father intervened and told their father where to go. So what happened in the 2015-2016 election campaign then was literally a titanic clash between the forces of light and life and truth and the forces of darkness and murder and lies. We need to thank our Heavenly Father every day that he graciously postponed judgment on the nation for at least a short while. And while we're not under massive persecution at the hands of the devilish dynamic duo of Clinton and Podesta, and by the way, it would have been an ongoing thing because John Podesta was slated to become Secretary of State in Hillary Clinton's administration. I don't know if you read this, but that was the carrot dangled out in front of him. Get me into the office and you'll be Secretary of State. Okay. So that would have been his reward for diligent service in the campaign. So whatever we saw going on in the campaign would have continued at an even higher intensity if Hillary had won, which is a sickening thought.
Wow.
So last items here. And then any questions, I'll do what I can with them. As a matter of interest, John Podesta was one of the most powerful and successful lobbyists in U.S. history. And we can now understand why. He got business done because the force that is the devil and his minions, the same force that Zachary King used to get business done, truly was with him. And he obtained that power by trading his soul to the devil for it at spirit cooking sessions.
Wow.
The picture's really clear when you get the different bits and pieces together. And the more you see, the more nauseating it becomes. It's not a joke. It's not fiction. It is absolutely real. These people worship the adversary. That's what they do.
Amen.
So last paragraph of my notes, and then I'll ad lib for any questions that come through. Final footnote on John Podesta. Icing on the evidence cake, so to speak. As I mentioned earlier, his emails leaked on WikiLeaks reveal his deep involvement in the UFO alien disclosure movement, which shows a direct tie-in to satanic worship. Roger Morneau, in the interview I mentioned earlier on YouTube, which I encourage you all to watch, it's called A Trip into the Supernatural, tells how in 1946, the high priest of an elite Luciferian worship group in Montreal explained to him how their master, Satan, will use his fallen angels posing as visitors from the galaxies to bring a final warning message with specific instruction to be followed by all mankind to prevent our self-destruction. And this instruction, if we follow it, will cause us to lose eternal life. I can't get into the whole details, but he gives the instruction that's coming down from these so-called visitors from the galaxies, and you'll get it all in that interview. So Podesta's emails, as he talks about his great, you got the book. Thank you very much. Somebody's right on the ball. But it's the interview you have to watch. The book is fabulous. Get and read the book. It's got some things the interview doesn't have. The interview has things that the book doesn't have. So watch them both. And the upshot of this whole experience that he had was to put him on the path of a prayer ministry that he carried on for his entire life. He wrote 3 books on prayer, Incredible Answers to Prayer, More Incredible Answers to Prayer, and When You Need Incredible Answers to Prayer. And these books are incredible. This man was a prayer warrior, and you can get the whole story of his life in these books. He tells it. He wrote them himself.
Ron, we can find this video on YouTube. What would we look under?
Roger Morneau, A Trip into the Supernatural.
Put in the chat.
Yeah, it's 3 hours and 19 minutes long. You'll wish it was 10 hours long. You learn so much on it. It is mind-boggling. And put that together with Zachary King, you'll get a picture. When combined with what we learned as a matter of fact from WikiLeaks regarding Podesta and Hillary, that is just, it'll turn your stomach, and it'll give you resolve to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, with such measure that you can effectively counter these people and reveal what they're doing. It's got to be blasted from the housetops. And there's a
Hey, Ron, let me ask you real quick. We're running out of time. Hey, Ron, why is it not being blasted from the... How come most people listening to this who go to church have never heard any of this?
Well, it's really a good question. Obviously, there are some implications to this thing. There are political implications. There are spiritual implications. There are implications that get a lot of people in trouble. And I just happen to be a completely independent voice. I'm not beholden to any denominational structure. So I just happened to get the conviction and the project from the Almighty to get to the bottom of this thing. And I found out what's going on. You hear it. Now you know what it is. Okay. Do with it as the Holy Spirit moves on you to do with it. But the word's got to get out there. We're not, these people are not playing around with us. The devil wants you preferably dead. But if not dead, he wants you to be a loyal son or daughter. And he's on the path to turn the whole world into exactly those type of individuals. So we're in a fight. There's no two ways about it. And like I mentioned on my last line here, Podesta's emails show that he personally is acting as the devil's forerunner, or kind of like a John the Baptist figure, if you please, setting the stage for the great deception, which, if it were possible, would deceive the very elect. So that was the end of my notes, and I wish we had a little more time for questions, but hey, if anybody has them, email them to me, and I'll do the best I can with them, and maybe we've got 2 minutes left or something like that here now.
I lost my sound on my end. My
Okay. Somebody came in with email address. Email address is contact@truthdepot.net. Go to Home Depot for your building supplies, Truth Depot for your truth. contact@truthdepot.net.
Thank you. Listen,
I'm sorry on my end if I'm walking over somebody. All of a sudden my cord popped out here on my computer.
Okay.
I can't hear anything you said, Ron. And I'm looking at the clock. We're coming to the end. Ron, stay with us. And we will, some guys will hang around and chat here afterwards. I'm sure there'll be a lot more questions. Folks, that video is now, that Ron spoke about, is in the chat room. Paulie put it in there. If you want to go watch that video, it's there. Check it out. Ron, we'll have you back, man. This has been a fascinating, fascinating thing. The devil is real. The darkness is real. And the church has got to wake up to what's going on around us. These aren't just bad people. These are demonically charged, inspired people. God bless you. Hey, Ron, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me on. Bye-bye. Appreciate it.